This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. And a continuation of the visit with Fel and Mabel on Wednesday, the 13th of August, 69. Fel on betting on the chickens and Mabel on Louise Graham, and in particular on carrying the case against Cockle to Tallahassee. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over on the new reel, Patterson 6.
You represent, what say now, all that's in court.
All of that's in court.
Record
of. Yeah, it's a record in hell, but I guess wouldn't you think so fast?
No, I wasn't court. That was in
Tallahassee.
Tallahassee at the Department of Agriculture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just one of the committees or commissions mm-hmm. or something.
Well, they had lawyers and everything. The secretary taking it, everything was taken down.
Oh, was it?
Uh-huh.
If I rode over there and told them I wanted to see a record of that, I could see it, couldn't I?
I reckon so. Wouldn't you think so, huh?
I mean, it'd be available.
I imagine it would. Of course, it was back yonder in 54, I think it was. 54, 55.
Well, you haven't found much since then.
Mm-mm. No, I tell you, shoot, why do it and they take what you had.
Yeah.
But old man Bill Christian, if he told you anything, he'd give you so much of anything, you could bet your boots you'd get it. If it was a year from then, it'd be just what he said. Now, I won't say that he didn't buy anything as cheap as he could and all like that, but if he told you he'd do anything, you could believe it. But
this lawyer that you had been using, the fellow from Gainesville.
No, I hadn't. Clayton Morris, I have a lawyer. But after, he was old Cochran, them's lawyer too. And so we had fella Cotton.
And then when you got to Tallahassee, when he got to Tallahassee, and saw who was up
there.
Louise
Graham.
Yeah.
Old Clayton, he got old Cochran out of that office he went. I'm telling you, when he walked in, he turned as white as sheep when he saw Louise.
Yeah.
And he turned around, I'm telling you, because he knew he had something to go up against when he had up to go up against.
Yeah.
Of course, I never had been on a witness stand in my life.
Oh, you hadn't?
I didn't know nothing about it. Now, I'm telling you the truth.
But she did.
She did. She was on there over 2 hours. But it didn't faze her at all about it. And the thing about it, our Cocker, when he got up there, he was very nice. And he said very little, because I knew good and well, if he said too much trying to make me black this much, I knew it had him to contend with. Now, I knew that.
Yeah.
Phil was sitting back there, but I knew Cocker didn't, you know, I didn't mind him telling the truth, but if he'd have tried to say something he shouldn't have about me, that Phil would tore that thing up with him. Now, I know he knew that, and I had that to worry about. But that lawyer told me that I'd done mighty good, says you really held old Cocker's feet to the fire now. But I got mad a time or two. But I knew good and well I couldn't do that. But whenever they're telling me what old Ernie Smith said, and whenever I looked at Ernie Smith, wasn't that poor for me, was he? I looked at him and I told him, I said, it's hard for me to believe that he had the mother and daddy that he had and can tell the lies that he's told.
Oh, really?
Yes, so that's just what I told him. I said, it's hard for me to believe it. You know who Ernie Smith is, don't you? You know Collie Shirouse?
Yeah.
It's his wife's brother.
Is that another family of Smiths? They're not kin to these.
But I told his sister, Ms. Shirouse, when I got back, I said, he's the biggest liar I ever saw in my life.
She agreed with you?
And she says, well, Miss Patterson, he had to. Says, you know his job was at stake. I says, if I've got to lie and steal for somebody else, I says, I'd hunt me another job.
then.
Yeah, I would. But gee, they knew they had lied. But that's real costly, you know. Got what it's got. I got owned several windows down in that fine home they got. And all of the farmers around here donated enough to get it too. But you know, when he old Cocker came here, Phil knows it, he worked for Bill Christian. Just as a, you know, I ring a day labor. And he didn't have nothing. And he went around, Christian would send him to people's farms to see how the crop was getting along and when it was ready to gather. And all like that. He came up here, I don't know the time, seeing his wife, both. And you'd look at the cabbage and the lettuce.
Say, you're raising racehorses now.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what the lawyer, Clayton, he was taught school at Micanopy?
He was taught school at Micanopy. Before we ever, and then he studied law. You know, after he taught school. And then
so he didn't have anything to start with.
He didn't have nothing to start with. He raised a poor man just like I was.
Yeah.
I like Clayton.
Yeah, I like Clayton nice too. He always was awful nice to us.
And what was the, what was it? Trouble with him and the, what did he say about the feasting?
It, well, Louise has told me, but I forget what. It was, just, I can't tell it just exactly like it was, but anyway, in the gym, or, you know, they agreed for all the girls to wear these bloomers, black bloomers, you know, that come to the knee to play in, you know, do all this, whatever they did. And Louise's daddy said his girls wasn't going to wear no such a garment as that. I wish he could see them with these miniskirts on that. What do you think about it?
I don't know whether I wish that on him or not.
Old Clayton said something about it. You know, I forget just what Louise did, what he said. But whenever old man Feast found it out, he just took Mr. Clayton and dressed him off.
Yeah.
And so
he come up to school to see him?
I don't know where it was at or not, but they said he put a whooping on him. Now, Louise told me that, but Clayton was raised in Micanopy.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was raised, if I'm not wrong, he was raised in Micanopy.
Oh, and that's how come he taught school there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, Louise, if you'll ask her about it, she'll tell you all about it. Now, she knows it better than I do, of course. When folks tell you things like that, you're not too interested.
She's off on a trip this week, going down some of these rivers or something. Whenever she gets back, I want you to talk to her and tell her, I want to talk to her. But she don't know me. I told
her. Well, she'll talk to you and tell you anything she knows, like that. You wouldn't mind telling you a bit about it.
Well, sometimes, you know, you don't take the people right off. And Clayton said something about old man Feast's daughters.
Yeah, it was old man Feast's daughter, something about those wearing them bloomers. Now, I can't just tell you just what it is.
I'd love to know.
And I don't know what he said, but anyway, he said something about it.
Yeah.
About it being there or something.
Yes.
Anyway, the old man Feast didn't appreciate it, and he just took him out and dressed him off.
Yeah.
Louise said that Clayton knew them from years ago when she was a child. And lots of cases that, you know, Louise had been in court up there, you know, Clayton alone. He knew Louise all right.
Well, now, how would Louise get into court, Mabel?
Well, for instance, there was a nigger up there that was killed. The Louise and them practically raised, and another nigger killed him. And that's been, I reckon, 7 or 8 years ago. And Louise and Mr. Graham went to town on that thing, trying to send that nigger up, but still they didn't do nothing with that other nigger.
Yeah.
And he is a mean nigga and making up to the tail of me. Now, I wouldn't want that recorded where nobody knew because you don't ever know what niggas will do now.
And people were,
even Jesse Walker, all these niggas around here were scared to death because they turned that nigga loose. They said that wasn't the first one he'd killed. Killing one Sunday.
Well, who got him loose?
I don't know. But I know Louise and them fought mighty hard on that case.
Who'd they have?
I don't know.
Graham?
Well, I mean, I don't know who Graham and them had, but they had a lawyer there that they fought mighty hard.
Yeah.
But that nigger is kind of a big nigger up there, and that wasn't the first one he'd killed. And the niggas are scared of it. And they were in hopes that they would do something with him.
And
all the niggas were.
Yeah.
And I know I heard her son and a bunch of making up on the streets up there talking about it. Of course, I didn't know nothing about it, and they said a word or two to me about it, and I got in my car and left. Kind of like my daddy, you know, I don't meddle in nothing like that. What none of my business what they did about it. But it was whenever children was living down here.
Yes.
You know, out of church.
Yeah.
And, but I think Louise was sick along then, and she'd have fought.
Yeah.
Because she's a fighter. She don't mind going to the, you know, high up. And she don't mind calling and talking to them. She knows who to call, you know, and how to work. But did you see her daughter out there at the dinner? Louise's daughter?
No, I didn't recognize her.
Her son is a nice looking man.
Uh-huh.
But her daughter's dead.
I've seen Andrew before. Does her daughter live? Yeah, her daughter lives.
Hello.
Daughter. Does she take like afternoon?
They have one got dynamite at them. But I didn't.
I didn't look.
Louise, right, pretty woman. But, her daughter, you know, I've never done her take no part in things like Louise has. But Louise is always kind of a leader, you know. If you'll notice, when you go to Micanopy vote, Louise is always the head cheese in that. You know, in the voting and all like that, you know. In other words, she kind of bosses whatever it is I have. The rest of them in there on. Of course, I don't vote, but I know Louise is there. Was you here when they used to vote down in Fredwood's store? But it hadn't been too many years since they changed that. All of them have to go to Micanopy now to vote.
You know,
that big lawyer had mighty good friends with Louise. And one of them special, and I forget his name, he's a young fellow. And, I went up with her in his office, and I think he's a big shot up there now.
She knows. I imagine.
And he comes out to her house hunting, and he eats a whole lot. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't out there that dinner Sunday. You wouldn't have probably known him. But whenever Louise walked in, he got up and hugged and kissed her. And Louise said it was one of her sons.
Oh.
And so they out. I know some of those big shots up there. Thanks a lot to Louise.
Yeah. A lot of times it's easier to get along with the big shots than it is the little shots.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the small ones is narrow.
Yeah.
And all like that. But it's a lot of things that Louise has done, which we all do things not always owned up enough. But for us, no one, you know, things I've heard, but I don't know it.
I stopped there talking to Mr. Weaver, Mr. Mike Weaver, and I said,
and they say he used to teach school.
I didn't know that.
Have you heard that, Pat?
And so he started telling me these stories about Louise getting other people's cattle.
Well, now, I'm not going to tell you anything like that. what I hear, I don't, and what I've told you is what Louise has told me herself.
But now, you know, I know she don't. I talked to her one time, and I forget where it was.
And she talked to me about somebody letting their horse.
I know we several years ago he had lots of them up there that said had the freezers full of beef.
Yes.
And they had some of them tied on a pole about it. But now what they ever done with them, I don't know whether they tried it. Do you? Did you ever hear? We heard that they had rung up a good many of them.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing that old man May up there, of course you've heard of him.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of boys rung up in court about stealing watermelon. And they said that they asked a man, me, I reckon was the judge, asked him, says, whenever you were a boy, how many did you ever steal? And they began to me, and the judge throws out, and then he says he didn't believe it was a boy living that hadn't one time another stole watermelon like that.
Right.
And they didn't do nothing with those children about it. Said that was just boys.
And
they were justifiable in stealing watermelons, either because he had done it, and he believed old man May had done it.
Well, if they hadn't done it, they planned to do it.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't ever remember stealing a watermelon, but when I stole a stalk of cane, it was so bad till I never forgot that. It was a neighbor. And a mighty good neighbor, and a mighty good old man.
Yeah, I'm trying to back in this
And
it's chilly.
Yes, it is chilly in here.
I came by a place one night, I reckon it was about 1 o'clock. And I was walking home, which I had about a mile further to go, and I got over in this old man's cane patch and got me a stalk of cane, and I was chewing it going on down the road. And I didn't think anything about it because that old man, I didn't have no idea, would care how much you got. But next morning, when I passed along there, he stopped me and told me, says, so you stop here and get sugar cane anytime you want it, and says, tell your little sister some. I said, I want you to tell her some. Well, so boy, I tell you, I never had enough to get away with me as bad in my life.
I never stole but cane but one time. There's a bunch of carload of us. And some of them in the crowd, they didn't mind such things. That I was raised better than that, because my daddy wouldn't tolerate anything that way. And he wouldn't tolerate you lying or doing anything that way. But anyway, they stopped at this cane patch, and everybody got to get cane. Well, I was smart. I was going to get mine on the first row, you know, and I was going to beat him back to the car and keep everybody from seeing me. So they all piled into the middle of the cane patch. And I got mine, and the time I broke it, the owner says, help yourself. And so that thing, I apologized every way I could for doing it. And he says, come on, I'll help you get you some cane. And he helped me get me an armful of it and carry it to the car. So I was out there at the car with my cane already in the car, and the rest of them was in the middle of the cane patch and scared to come out. I saw that man out there with me, and they were scared to come out of that, so the man finally told him to come on out.
Now this is a little bit. Phil came on over here and spent a little time with me, and we're out in the shed. It started to rain, and he's talking to Nick, and I asked him what happened to him that time that he wouldn't ride the horse, and they were going to court-martial him, a horse or a mule. And I know I get it wrong about that.
We had the side of a river to guard, and you had to ride a horse up that river. I just never could ride no horse, and I'd get out and lead that horse. And they caught me at it second time. And did the sergeant head me in. And they were gonna give me some court martial for not riding, staying on that horse, riding that horn. And I told them I couldn't ride that horse all the time. I couldn't sit on that horse. And sent me to a hospital. And this, by the way, this here hospital was at a balloon base. I don't know just what balloons done in the army then, but it was commanded by Roosevelt's son. I forget his name. I was sitting out back at this hospital when he got killed out there, and I got a piece of the plane at the house that a German prisoner made a jewelry box out of it. You know, the propeller was wood then, made out of different plies of wood, and where it made that turn, sold a piece off and made a jewelry box out of it to give it to me.
Out of the rain.
And he, engraved it with a nail. After you see it and tell you it was engraved with a nail and a railroad spike, well, you know it, because it looked like it. I fell, and it caused a fistula, what they called it, on my urethra, and it had never fully cured up, and that's why I couldn't ride a horse, and I never could ride a horse very much. My daddy used to go to Atlanta and buy a whole lot of these outlaw mules from out that stock yard. We logged with them, you know. And my brother, he'd like to see drove with them mules come in and get out there and ride them and all. And he was pretty good, too. He was pretty good. Not me. I didn't get on one. Daddy could buy them mules a whole lot cheaper, you know. They'd be off color, be mean, and some of them were sure enough mean too now, yeah. And he could buy them cheaper, and he thought they made the best logging mules, but I never did think so. It was here close to Newberry one time, and they were had a Ford, I don't know what size it was, and nothing like that. But old man Monk told them that his tractor, one like I had, she says he'll pull that there plow a whole lot better than that. At Ford, I sure thought the old man was just talking, but he wasn't. He knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. It was.
Oh, that little John Deere EM you had was one of the pulling instructors I ever saw.
Yes, sir, it sure was.
Yeah, it didn't have any motor engine at all.
The only difference between it and an International H was the International H was faster. Mm-hmm. It was faster, but for as it pulling, it wouldn't pull a bit more.
Yeah, that was a lively tractor. That
new hand. No, it's pretty slow, I would say. It was pretty slow tractor.
That was just sitting out there in the shed with while it was sprinkling with Nick. And one nice thing comes, leads to another. And this is 285, Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over. And this is the end of the visit with Fell and Mabel on Wednesday the 13th of August, 69. Fell on betting on the chickens, Mabel on Louise Graham, and particular that carrying old Cockrell to Tallahassee. Now this is that slow motion tape on that very slow speed on the big Craig, on the big portable stereo Craig, on the stereo Craig. That morning when I was in hot water, I tried to get Florence to block a little time for taping. She said she hadn't been able to do it. And I said, well, you can do it for the bookstore, and hung up. So I took Phil around and we went over there. I had to make up and Phil to visit. And this is a nice visit.
No, I sure haven't.
It's good to see you. Seen this one, have you?
I sure have. What do you...
Thank you. We've just been out walking.
I wouldn't care for anything, thank you.
Those birds are out there making a lot of racket.
Can't hear you.
Found a lot of butterflies out today. I don't know where they've been hiding, but they're everywhere.
Yeah. And he was talking about what a beautiful day it was. And he come by there and got me, and I just ride about with him.
I think that's a good thing to do. Sometimes you don't see it if you're sitting in the house.
Well, we just transacting business.
That outfit I got to live with over there is getting to be pretty bad.
Which outfit is that?
That Mabel and that son of mine and that daughter-in-law.
You got all of them there in the house?
No, they're there, though. You know, the other day I looked up, and there was Paul walked in the door. And I spoke to him. I said, what in the world? He says, you ready to go see the doctor? I knowed right then Mabel had called Paul from Jacksonville to come down here to Camden to the doctor.
Oh.
And,
Phil, go ahead and finish that. I was doing something.
The other day, she said that my leg was swollen. I couldn't tell much better. It was kind of tight, but swollen. And she called somebody, and they said that I had to be in doctor's office right now. And all such foolishness is that.
You mean they're lining up on you, huh?
Okay.
Yes, against
and
you.
I don't think they're lining up against you. I think they're lining up with you.
That nurse come in there. And, she said, I'm going to give you a flu shot. I said, no, you ain't. Oh, Paul said, oh, Daddy said, yes, sir, let her give it. I says, I ain't going to do it. I said, I'd take one of them things one time. And I said, it'd like to kill me. And I said, I ain't had a cold in 10 years. And I said, I ain't going to take it.
And if you hear ones around, you're going to go hide.
Dr. Daly, he come in there. He says, and I told him, I said, no, I didn't tell you. I said, I ain't going to take that thing. And I said, if I have flu tomorrow, I said, I just ain't going to take it.
Just not going to breathe till the flu's passed.
And I went over there the other day, and she was telling me about how contrary I would do what Paul said do, and I'd do what the doctor. I think most of it's foolishness anyway, don't you?
A lot of it.
You said it is. You said it is.
Phil, Florence brought up in the store, you know, restaurant.
I know.
He brought up in the store. He worked in the store for 6 years.
You did? That in a sawmill. You used to work in a sawmill. What was before that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That was, I started working store when I was about 11, 12 years old. And worked in that store till I was about 17.
Well.
And then went business for myself.
I want to hear this again. He just told us down there at Rob's, at Bill Wynn. Tell her how you got fired.
You got fired?
Yeah. I was working in the grocery store to start with. And we had a delivery wagon with a horse and had a nigger boy there with a bicycle to deliver small things, you know. We had to deliver all groceries then. And one day at 12 o'clock, old Miss Trella Wooten, an old widow woman, lived 10 blocks up here at Isabella Avenue, wanted a box of black pepper. And I had to get on that bicycle, and it was hot and cold. So when the Senator Bell, she said it wasn't right. She wasn't told. Mr. Rutland told me, he said, Bell said, get on the telephone there and says you call off what you got on these here slips. And says anything that she said she didn't get, says you take it out. And all right, I got on there, and I come to that 10-cent box of black pepper. She said, oh, see, I didn't get that. I said, you're a damn liar. And boy, I got fired right quick. Boy, if there's anything I did remember was getting that box of black pepper. And it was an old bicycle, and I could have walked three times as easy as I could have rode that old bicycle. And this is a girl.
Well, they say the customer's always right, so I guess that man thought so, huh?
Yeah.
It was a little hard.
Guys, we
well,
got to run.
You know, for 10 years, I had no trouble with that old woman. And after I got gone and went business for myself, I sold her some shingles, and she promised me that she wasn't going to give me no trouble about it, and she wouldn't pay me, and my business was just a little business, you know, and I started with $35. You know, it was a big business. I bought the rest of it on a credit, and I surprised the Morsman Company in Atlanta so much till they sent it to me. I knew what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anything about no credit manager and all that kind of thing. So I wanted to see Mr. Morsby.
So, Dale, that's too much. That's too long. I got it.
Good boy. Did that end up with that sawmill?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, wouldn't make a bit of difference. You just
and I didn't stop, but there were three cars. You have a lot of company?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
It was during the week. Let's see. I guess it was longer than that now. It was right before the children were at the beach, and I was by myself, and I was just out riding around. I rode up
was
that
it
way.
Was it on Tuesday?
It was during the week.
Well, if it's on Tuesday, there's two old ladies come out there, and
it seems to me that one of them was had a red on
They have
I told myself.
Huh?
I just taught myself.
They have some kind of Bible study out there.
Bible study? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, maybe that's
what
it was.
She needs a little of that. That's what she ought to be in on that.
Is that right?
It is right on them.
Yeah, I'm a heathen.
Yeah.
Well, I think
Now, this is one of the nice statements. Fell told me in the car, and I stopped so I could tape it. He could remember Florence as just a child.
I say, I've known that kid ever since she was just a little bitty girl. And she's so much different from her mother or stepdaddy. She's a whole lot different. I was in town one day, and you know, if you speak to either one of them, why, they'll speak to you. But if you don't, But I was there one day, and they was going down the street, and had a little old young'un ahead of them hollering at everybody she knows.
Is that right?
And And they wasn't paying no attention to nobody. They wasn't paying no attention to her either, as far as that's concerned. If you hadn't have known it, you wouldn't have known it was that kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, her and Paul were about the same age, went to school together, and she stayed up the house a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul thought lots of her.
But, you know, it'll take too long.
Well, you ain't got nothing to do no way.
Yes, I'll go on back. You keep seat. Keep seat. Sit down a minute. That was getting head high, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It was fully shoulder high to me. It was heavy.
Well, it'd take that a while to cure.
You know, I best be damned if I ever seen grass grow as fast as this does in this yard. Now, you know, last Friday, I mowed this yard last Friday.
Yeah.
And look at it.
Yeah, I believe you can get started again.
It need more now. It should, Well, if I didn't have the kind of mower, God, I sure couldn't mow it, could I?
Oh, just too much territory.
I mowed this, and I mowed from that tree up there across to the road and all back this way. That woman was out there pushing that dying little old mower. I think it cuts 18 inches.
Oh, trouble to his own.
Well, I've had a lot of trouble. But I always tried not to take it out on my family.
Well, you know what? He works. He works 5 days and Saturday, too.
He works 5 and a half days.
5 and a half days.
And he's supposed to get off at 5 o'clock, but it's generally 6 o'clock or after before he leaves there.
Yeah.
He's a man that he's going to do the job regardless of how long it takes him. And he don't look at the clock.
He was over there at the house, you know. They cut a little pasture over there for me. And he's over there one night, and he sat and talked a bit. And the way he talked about it, Phil, they put those house trailers on the track of the morning and take them out the middle of the afternoon.
He told me that if he got one of those foundations,
yeah,
over to this other place by 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
that it was finished and delivered by 3 o'clock that afternoon.
Well, now you see, that takes a lot of organization.
It sure does.
They got to be ready for it, haven't they?
And then another thing. Did you ever actually see them putting them things together?
No.
And how they are?
No.
Oh, boy, that's miserable.
Yeah.
And the first thing I think can learn these people is how to cover up their mistakes.
Yeah.
I was in Atlanta, and right across the street from Ralph's house, they were building 14 houses. Some of them nearby completed, and some of them just started.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I sat there and looked at them, build them houses, and how they were doing it. And you'd be surprised at some of the things that they were covering up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, you could just sit there and watch them. They didn't care.
No, they know there was nothing to me. And I sat there and looked at him, and one of the fellas that was putting in a wall. And I told him, I said, "Mister," I said, "you know that wall ain't straight, don't you?" He says, "What the hell?" Said, "It'd take an hour for me to straighten it." Said, "What the hell difference does it make?"
Well, there you are. Well, now, that's the way they figure, isn't it?
That's right.
It just takes that time.
That's right. They said it'd take him an hour to straighten it, which I believe in the long run that they would have saved an hour by it being straight and square. And the worst thing in the world that you can do is start anything and it not square. If you've got it square, why, you can go ahead with it all right. But if you just, if it ain't square,
you got to make adjustments all the time.
I'll swear that's these special adjustments. That's what's so.
Phil, what's wrong with the grocery business? Don't you know you were saying now you worked in hardware and start with?
I worked about nearly a year in a grocery store.
Yeah.
And of course, then it was back where you waited on the customer and wrapped his things and all like that. It's quite different. They go get it now and bring it up there and let you check it and sack it and carry it on out. It was quite different when I worked there.
There's no transaction to it now.
But I went to work in the morning at 7 o'clock and worked till 9 during the weekdays.
Yeah.
And on Saturday I worked till 12:01. Closed up at 12. It'd take you about an hour to get kind of swept up and get ready to leave there by 1 o'clock. We were lucky if we got out of there at 1 o'clock. What kind of store we worked in was Farmer Supply Fireplace.
Yeah.
Now them big farmers, they would buy the plow, you know, then so many plows, and they were some of the people that traded with us run 100 plows or more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and what it was, I never did know exactly what all about it because I wasn't interested in it anyway. Every first Saturday, the niggas from these plantations come to town and got the groceries and stuff for the next month. But if you give them the money, they'd go to town and get drunk and spend it, you know, and didn't have nothing to eat. And those people would give them an order to the store for so many dollars worth of stuff, and we would fill these orders on Saturday. And you know, back then it was dangerous as hell to be on the road on first Saturday night in that country, because they went to town with mules and wagons, and they'd start back and they all hollering and drunk and raising hell, and it was dangerous to meet them in the road. They run over you, not intentionally, but and then Monday morning, those big farmers would come to the store and pay those bills. It was one good business. It was a good business. And back then, a ordinary grocery store, if they sold $100 worth of groceries a day, why, they were doing pretty good business. But we've sold as much as $1,500, $2,000 worth of stuff
on Saturday, first Saturday. But we sold more on first Saturday than we sold on the rest of the month.
I just got up at the tail end of that when you're talking about that. What did that nigga fella buy? He bought a 75 cents worth, quarters worth.
Bought 75 cents eggs.
Yeah.
Yes, eggs used to cost 75 cents and a handle for a quarter.
Yeah.
And eggs cost you a dollar then, cost you around 5 or 6 now.
Oh, yeah.
But now this old man was supposed to be a mighty big church worker and all like that. And, he was a deacon in the church. And just such things as that, guy. Nope. Is the reason that I have never had no goddamn confidence in them, because the experience I've had with them, and I had some kin folks with preachers, and there wasn't no damn sorry says on the bitch in the world. And I know that. So, in a case like that, I put the $19 and a quarter.
He gave you $20?
$20 bill and walked out. And I went to the door and I looked and I didn't see him. So I put this $19 and a quarter in an envelope and marked on it unknown and carried it back to the office to Mr. Reynolds. And I'd been working there about a month. I reckon had about, I think I like 6 weeks long to stay there. And I carried it back to him and explained to him, Mr. Reynolds, I says, a nigga come in here and bought an axe, 75 cents, and gave me a $20 bill. And I said, when I looked around to give him his change, I says, he was gone. And I said, I'd look for him. I couldn't see him or nothing. And I said, you take this. And I says, he more than likely come back for it. And I said, if you do, you can get it.
It must have clear skipped his mind. He must not have noticed that because he got clear out of town.
Something like that, yeah.
Out of town.
And so the nigga come back in there and he asked me, did I remember him? I told him, no, I didn't think so. And he says, you remember a week or 2 weeks ago, I come in here about 9 o'clock in the morning and bought an axe? I said, yes, I remember you, all right. And I said, come on back here. And I went back there and I told Mr. Reynolds that this was the man that bought the axe and the $19 and a quarter change belonged to him. Said he didn't remember nothing about it. He says, you didn't give it to me, did you? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, well, I don't know nothing about it. I said, well, I did. And I said, you owe this man $19 and a quarter. He said, again, he couldn't understand that he didn't know nothing about it. I told him, I said, you are a goddamn liar. And I said, now, you know how far that $20 goes with me. But I says, I damn sure can give it to him.
We're talking.
And I told that nigga, I said, I haven't got $20 now. But I says, if you'll, I told him where I bought it. And I said, if you come down there Saturday morning, next Saturday morning. I says, I'll give you the $19 and a quarter. I says, I'll give it to you. I says, I know it belongs to you. And I says, I didn't get it either. And that nigga told me, said, no. Said, Mr. Patterson, says, I can lose it just as good as you can. And says, it's all right.
Is says, that right?
That's right. And that's the way that old man, you know, I know that old fella for a long time. And he moved down here to Poindina Beach. He went broke. And him and his wife was down there running a boarding house. That's the last time I ever seen him. He died there. We owned a cottage down there on the beach. And I'd see him once in a while down there. And I never seen him but what I didn't think about that. And my mother thought he was one of the grandest stories.
Yeah. Phil? I've been thinking about them chickens ever since you talked about that the other morning.
That's what?
About them chickens that you've been on.
Oh, them chickens.
Now, was that in Georgia or was that down here?
The last one I went to was here in Gainesville, and I had never been to Gainesville before.
Yeah.
That's the first time I was ever in Gainesville, and it was sometime, some place out this side of Gainesville,
yeah,
where that place,
yeah,
was, but I've never seen no place that looked like that.
Yeah.
We got the chickens Eleven of them from up at Sumter, South Carolina, out from Sumter, South Carolina. Bought them from a Methodist preacher.
Yeah.
And we carried them to Savannah. And the fire chief in Savannah trained them with chickens. And we brought them down here. And I went to several fights, and I went to one in Brunswick, and I went to one in, two in Savannah. Savannah. Oh, I went to already about a half dozen. That mayor of Waycross. I got in with him and got to going with him, you know, and he was crazy about it. And it's quite something after you get into it, you know, high goals and all,
yeah,
all like that. I never did make a whole lot of money. Most of the time that I made my expenses. And which sometimes that was pretty steep, but I generally always made enough to pay my expenses.
Well, you all just done it as a lark, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
right.
Something sort of nice, innocent.
Now,
too.
Most of the people was there was doctors and lawyers and people just wanted to get out, you know, and see something besides this old routine, you know.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It's quite a sport, all right.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot about it. Now, you know, one of the biggest things, I imagine that you would bet on when they come out here and put the chicken in the ring and tell you that he was a three or four time winner. That you bet on him right off the bat, you know. That is one of the worst bets you can bet on.
He wore out.
No, he dreads it.
Oh.
He after these fights, they all are cut up, and if they get over it, they dread it. And the first fight is always the one you've been on.
Oh.
They put a roost in that's never fought before. In there with a three-time winner, you bet on the other one. And 9 times out of 10, you come out a whole lot better.
Well, you bet on them right there where you're looking at them.
Oh, yes, and you don't put up no money or anything at them places. Or just somebody says, I'll take $10, you'll bet $10 on this one, or $20. Generally, up to $50 is about the limit on a,
yeah,
on a rooster.
Yeah.
And you say it's a bet. Well, when this thing's over, you're getting the money.
Well, you got anything to sit on or stand on or anything?
Oh, they have a lot of chairs set around there, you know, and a big barbecue pit there with barbecue and meat, you know. And,
oh.
And,
what do you like?
Yeah, then down back a row of cars, why, that's where the whiskey is and the drinks, you know.
And that moonshine?
Oh, not always. Some, if there is any good liquor to be got, and during the prohibition, I know them to have a Canadian club liquor at that place.
Yeah.
Oh, it cost $10, $12 a quart. $15, $20, but it didn't make no difference what it cost.
Yeah, not one day, not on a, not on a outing like that.
Now, and then another big thing that we enjoyed when we were young people, that old fella there in town, old man A.A. Acre.
Uh-huh.
And, he had 12, 15 hound dogs.
Yeah.
And he had a whole lot of boys, just one girl. And they'd go back up in the flatwoods, you know, and get them an old house up and camp in it and go fox hunting.
Yeah.
Get up in the morning about 3 o'clock, go out and strike a fox and run him till way up 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Something like that. And the first part of the night, back around the neighbor's house, they'd have them old dances, you know, them old frolics, you know. And they, all the whole neighborhood would bunch up there and they danced till 12, 1 o'clock. Then go to sleep and get up at 3 or 4 o'clock and go fox hunting. And, oh, we did love it.
A frolic?
Dances, yeah, these old country dances.
Now that's just the young people.
Old square dances, you know.
Just the young people.
Yeah, just young people. Yes, sir. And we had a big time. We had a big time. But you see now, people don't think about such things as that now. It was all good, clean fun, and you had a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, we didn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
I've done it many times.
Right on the ground.
Right on the ground.
Yeah. Mabel's gonna get us. She stuck her head out, you know.
Huh.
And that's it. That's it. That was good talk. Just sitting out in the car outside the back door. And this is Friday morning, the 26th of September, 69. Friday morning, 26th of September, 69. Friday morning, the 26th of September, 69. And this is about 8:65. Channel went over. The visit was failed with Florence and then over at his back door.